Good morning, Hayden Bible Church. We are so glad to be with you this morning. I want to wish an especial happy Mother's Day to all you moms out there. We love you. We thank the Lord for the blessing you are to your families and to our church family. And I am also excited this morning to let you know, just by way of a reminder, that next week, so a week from today, we will, by God's grace, be able to gather again in person here at the church. And so you received some information about that in an email a week or so ago. We're going to send out some more info for you in this coming week, how we're going to do that. Service times will be at 8 and 11, as always. And let me just challenge you as a church, those of you who are plugged in, and if you're watching this live right now, you are plugged in, okay? Ask the Lord to bring to your mind some of our folks who are not set up electronically. Maybe they don't have email, they can't live stream, that sort of thing. And just ask the Lord to bring to your heart some names of people that you might call and just let them know that we're going to resume in-person gatherings next Sunday. But there will be some restrictions because of the COVID-19 thing that is still a concern in our community. And so I want to thank you in advance for just being attentive to what some of those new ways of doing things will be. Let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles now this morning. Let's turn to the Word of God. And I want to tell you the words that you see on your screen right now: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I wouldn't even have to tell you that that is Psalm 23. You already know that. Such comforting, familiar words to us are Psalm 23. And, you know, these are not only some of the most beloved words in your Bible. They are probably the best known words from the Bible to people who don't read the Bible, to people who don't even own a Bible. From Hallmark cards to funeral bulletins, it seems people all over the world know these words: "The Lord is my shepherd." But with God's help this morning, we'll see in His Word that these are not generic words for all people, though our culture has sort of appropriated them that way. These are not generic words that apply to all people. These are God's words to a special people, to His own people. And God's own people are not only comforted by these words and reassured, strengthened by these words, but God's own people are also challenged by these words as well, aren't they? Because they remind us what it is to be the people of God. Now, I want to just encourage you, as I have been these past weeks, about meditating on Scripture. Two simple thoughts here that you already know about from this psalm. God is to His people what a shepherd is to his sheep. You could spend the rest of this coming week just meditating on that simple truth that comes out of the opening line of this familiar psalm. And God's people are to Him what sheep are to their shepherd. Again, we could spend the rest of the week just meditating on that simple but profound truth that is descriptive of God's orientation and love toward us as His own, and the blessings and responsibilities that are ours because we are a part of His special people. And so we're going to read this psalm together now. Many of you have it memorized. That's okay. But I encourage you still to grab your Bible. Let's just look at the Word of God together and see these two things. What do we learn about the Lord who is as a shepherd to us? And what are the blessings and also the responsibilities of being His own people? Verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, that God is the shepherd of his people is really the overarching theme of all of Scripture. You know, sometimes people might ask you, well, what's the Bible about? And you might say, well, the Bible is about God. Or you might say the Bible is about Jesus. Both of those are good answers. Let me suggest another good answer to that question. What is this book about? What's the Bible about? Well, long before there was a King David, God had promised to be to his people as a shepherd is to his sheep. Go back to the book of beginnings. Go back to Genesis. And in Genesis 49, we read of Jacob blessing his sons. We actually looked at this passage last week when we read of Judah and Jesus, the Messiah, being the lion of the tribe of Judah. Well, Jacob also blessed his son Joseph. And he said this, his bow remained in strength. And the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. So just think about what you know about your Old Testament. From Jacob, there came Joseph, who was sent by God's amazing, frankly, bewildering providence. God sent Joseph into Egypt to be a rescuer. To be a shepherd of sorts to his father's family, a strong stone to uphold and support the family, the people of Israel. And of course, we understand that Joseph is a type of Christ, isn't he? His life in so many ways is a picture for us of Christ. Joseph's life is a foreshadowing of the far greater shepherd deliverer of God's people. The Lord Jesus. In fact, I would suggest to you to do this if you want to just really be blessed this week reading through the Psalms. Read Psalm 22, 23 and 24 together as a unit. And I believe you'll see that Psalm 23 really is a messianic psalm. It's to do with Jesus. But all the way in Genesis and now in the Psalms, we see this big picture that. God is to his people as a shepherd is to his sheep. And then we turn to the New Testament, of course, in John's gospel in particular, and we see that Jesus affirms that he is the shepherd that has long been foretold in Scripture. Jesus says to us, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I am that greater shepherd deliverer, that rescuer of God's people, prefigured in David, prefigured, if you will, in Joseph. And who are the sheep? Well, the Lord says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Listen, Psalm 23 then only applies to certain people. It applies to those who hear Christ's voice. It applies to those who are known to him personally. It applies to those who follow him. What does that mean? Well, as a sheep follows its shepherd. In Revelation 7, we read once more of Christ, the Lord who is our shepherd, who leads God's sheep into everlasting rest, heavenly rest. It says, they shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat, for the Lamb who is in the midst of heaven's throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Listen, are there tears in your eyes these days? Doesn't it not delight your heart that you have a good shepherd, the great shepherd, those of you who know Jesus, who hear his voice and follow him, and he tells you in his word, there is a day coming when you will not know tears of sorrow. So this simple metaphor in Psalm 23, as familiar as it is to us, as familiar as it is to the entire world, really, is really a meta-narrative. It's the big story, the big picture of the Bible. It's an image that is painted for us throughout all of Scripture, from Genesis to the Psalms, from the Gospels to the Book of Revelation. The Bible's big picture is what? That God in Christ is the shepherd of His people, and God's own people are the sheep of His flock. Something else we need to know before we rush to application. In the ancient East, in the Near East, a king was often referred to as a shepherd. That's a foreign concept to us in the West. We don't think of shepherds that way. But the idea of sovereignty is very strongly implied in this psalm, as tender as it is. So we don't want to miss that. When David, for example, was anointed king over Israel, 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 2 says this, the Lord said to David, "You shall shepherd my people Israel and be ruler over Israel." Notice the correlation, shepherd, ruler. So when we read these opening words of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," we're meant to think in terms of a sovereign king, a ruler. The Lord is my king. The Lord is the one who rules over my life in the absolute sense. My king, my sovereign ruler is to me as a benevolent, strong shepherd. And this sovereign, benevolent king is God Himself, God the Son, who lays down His life for the sheep and sustains them and leads them ultimately to everlasting rest. And I mention these things, friends, not to belabor our study of this, but to suggest to you that the key to understanding the blessing of Psalm 23 is not to insert yourself in it so quickly, but to keep your gaze on the shepherd this song so wonderfully describes. You see, David, despite his high position as Israel's king, rightly sees himself not as the shepherd king, but as one of the king's sheep. There's no higher standing in David's mind as he writes this song than to be simply one of God's own sheep. So this psalm is not so much about you and me, not initially. This is to do with Jesus. Do you know this shepherd king? Are you one of the sheep who hear His voice and follow Him? Are you experiencing the benefits of His tender, sovereign reign over your life? Well, what do we see as we keep our gaze on the shepherd? Well, says David, he is a shepherd who knows each sheep individually. The Lord is my shepherd. And, you know, we can well imagine that David, when he was out tending his father's flocks as a boy, he watched over the sheep day after day, week after week, maybe month after month, day and night. He thought lots of deep thoughts about his own relationship with God and the way in which God related to him. And he knew his scriptures. And so he thought, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. In the way that I am a shepherd to these sheep here, that's how God is to me. And when God is my shepherd, how can I be in want? You see, it is not simply that God is a shepherd of people, the people of Israel, Jacob's own descendants as a whole. God is David's own shepherd, his personal shepherd king. The shepherd knows and delights in each sheep as his personal possession. God knows David intimately, personally, lovingly, claiming David as his own. The same way David looked after each individual sheep in those flocks and knew all of their individual personalities and quirks and tendencies and all of that. And David sings of this in Psalm 139. He says, "How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." I know some of you listening in this morning are moms, and maybe you're a mom who's at home with little kids, and you at least sometimes wonder, does anybody understand what I'm going through? What my daily burdens really are? And of course your husband, of course your children love you desperately, but they cannot know, let alone anticipate, the deepest thoughts that you have, the deepest needs of your heart. But your shepherd king can, and he does. He loves you. He leads you in love as you draw near to him. How many of you experience this on a weekly basis, maybe a daily basis, as you open the word of God and you feast upon his word? You realize, good heavens, he's been reading my mind, because he has fed me on this day exactly what my heart needs. Well, David sings this language of loving relationship and possession even in Psalm 139, doesn't he? David belongs to God. God loves him. You see, to be a Christian, listen, to be a Christian is not simply to know that there is a God. It is not simply to belong to a mass of people known as Christians, as opposed to Muslims, as opposed to Hindus and so forth. No, it's a very personal, intimate thing. In fact, no Christian lacks a personal, intimate, loving relationship with God. There is no such thing as a Christian who lacks this. And so I say again, the shepherd knows and delights in each sheep as his personal possession. Now, there are many Christians, many of us, I should say, who don't always enjoy the blessing that is implied in this. But that does not change the reality that our good shepherd, Jesus, knows us personally and loves us intimately and claims us as his own. Now, in verses 2 and 3, David begins to describe the specific blessing of being the shepherd's personal possession. Let's just look at those verses together. What does it mean to have been made the special object of God's affection? And what specifically does David say that when the Lord is your shepherd, you need not want? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Many of you, well, some of you who live outside of town actually have owned sheep, or maybe you've owned goats. And you know that sheep are not able to take care of themselves. They are, unlike some other livestock, they are utterly dependent upon their owner. They're utterly dependent upon their shepherd. And so the shepherd, in David's understanding, is one who obligates himself to provide for each sheep's need. You've had to do that if you've owned sheep. And Jesus, our good shepherd, obligates himself to provide for each one of our needs. Not just in a generic sense, but for each of us as individuals. And some of you might be wondering right now, well, why would the shepherd make his sheep lie down in green pastures? That seems like odd wording. Why not simply allow his sheep to eat from the green pastures? That makes more sense. Well, we're not animals. We don't lie down in our food, I hope. Sheep apparently do. But here's the thing about sheep. Sheep will not lie down until they are satiated, until they're satisfied, until their stomachs are full. And sheep will not lie down until they are free from danger, or have a sense that they are free from danger. Until they are free from hunger, until they are free from danger, the sheep will not lay down. And so the shepherd takes his flock through the green pastures. And their stomachs get full, that they are satisfied. And his presence with them suggests that they need not be concerned about what's around them because he's there and they are safe. Now they can lie down. Now they can be at rest. And it isn't so much that the shepherd forces the sheep to lay down. He makes it possible for them to lie down. In verse 2, the Hebrew phrase that is translated, makes me to lie down, is more literally rendered, he leads me to rest. He leads me to rest. He makes it possible for me to be at rest. Jesus, the good shepherd of God's sheep, Jesus, who is God himself, takes me into that place and puts me in that position where rest is not only possible, but provided for, in fact, promised. Let me ask you something. Have you been placed under the benevolent care of God in this way? Or are you someone who yet faces danger? Are you someone who yet remains unsatisfied? You're still looking for something that will fill that sense of emptiness, void, if you will, in your heart and your soul. You know, the scripture says that there is a danger faced by all of this world's people because we've been born into sin. And that is not the danger that comes from worldly circumstances. It's not the danger that even comes from self, as considerable as that may be. It is the danger of facing the wrath of God for sin. And you see, the satisfaction that is referred to in Psalm 23, the satisfaction that leads to rest, is not the kind of satisfaction that comes from always getting your own way, always getting what you want, but in having all that your soul needs by the measure of your shepherd king. And what you need most, friend, is to be in his fold, to be in his flock in the first place, to know him as your shepherd, and to rest in the assurance that you really are his possession. And you cannot be at rest as long as you remain a person living day by day under your own leadership, your own rule, your own wandering, if you will. The scripture says such people are under the wrath of God, awaiting judgment. And the scripture says you're in danger, if that describes you. Eternal danger. You need a shepherd to protect you. And that's what Jesus meant when he said in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus, God the Son, gave his life at Calvary, didn't he? He shed his blood and he died so that people like you, people like me, sinners that we are, can have our sin forgiven, the record of it erased. We can have our alienation from God ended so that we can enter into his sheepfold forever. In our souls, like a sheep's stomach, if you will, they remain empty. They remain unsatisfied until we're filled with God, until we're born of the Spirit of God. So I ask you, are you trusting in the provision of your shepherd king, this good shepherd, the Lord Jesus? In Christ, the wants of your soul are met and satisfied. Your soul is restored to God and restored to your benefit. You're at rest in Christ because in Christ you know that you are his and you know that he is yours. And the Lord, who is your shepherd, continues to lay himself down for you, doesn't he? He's always interceding for you. He's always providing day to day, hour by hour, even moment by moment for your needs. I have been amazed to hear some of your stories about how the Lord has met need in the middle of these unusual circumstances that we've found ourselves in. I've had that experience in my own family. My son and his family are moving back up to North Idaho from the south. And I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I have grandchildren. And so two of them will be moving up with their parents, as that often is the case. And how do you buy a house in the middle of a quarantine when you live hundreds of miles away? Well, I won't bore you with the details, but to me, they're fascinating because they show that God has superintended every little detail of that family being able to have a home. They haven't even seen it yet. They're just trusting us. We checked it out, that it's an okay place. And it is. But God did that. Your shepherd always anticipates your needs before you're even aware of them. And unlike you, listen, the shepherd knows the difference between what is best for the sheep and what the sheep simply want, or what the sheep wander into on their own. I am persuaded that in this whole coronavirus thing, as serious as it's been, some of us have been thinking a lot of thoughts about how this isn't really what we've wanted. But does it occur to us ever that God has ordained that this is what we've needed? Some of us have really needed to slow down. Some of us have really needed a timeout where the heart can be quieted and focused on far fewer things and more directly focused on the God who reigns over all things. And you see, so our shepherd king provides what is needed, what is best, not necessarily what in our fleshly sense is wanted, and certainly not just what we would wander into on our own. What a shepherd he is. And look where he leads us. Look at verse 3. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Friends, this is not only an encouragement, but it's also a challenge, isn't it? It's a sobering thing to read this. Jesus, our good shepherd, leads us into a life of practical righteousness. This is not a positional statement. The sheep who love their shepherd willingly follow him. They are no longer self-led. Is that true for you? Ask yourself this morning. Am I self-led? Or am I truly led by my shepherd king, my Jesus? You see, you are not one of God's own people simply by referring to Jesus as your shepherd. The question is, are you following him? This is the definition of a sheep belonging to the shepherd. Remember, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." And where does he lead us? Not just generally, but specifically. Well, he leads us in paths. He leads us into lives of practical righteousness. Many of you, I know, are familiar with a book written. This goes back into the 70s or 80s, I think. A book written by a fellow named Philip Keller called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And it's a very helpful description of sheep and shepherding. And Keller says this in his book, describing what happens when a wandering sheep enters into the care of the good shepherd. He says, a person exchanges the fickle fortunes of living life by sheer whimsy for the more productive and satisfying adventure of being led by God. Simple, straightforward obedience to the Lord as it comes to us by his word. As it's translated, if you will, into our hearts by the Spirit. This is the mark of his sheep. Prone to wander as we are. This is the trajectory of our lives when the Lord is my shepherd. And very frankly, a sheep that has not begun to follow the shepherd, who does not hear his voice, who never follows the shepherd, on the authority of Scripture, I think we could just say that is not one of his sheep anyway. But the Christian, the one in whom the shepherd delights as his own possession, the one whom the shepherd has obligated himself to provide for, is also one whom the shepherd is faithful to lead into righteousness. And notice next, and also protect. Look at verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now think about that. What is the valley of the shadow of death? We've kind of appropriated that to apply to any difficulty, right? Is the valley of the shadow of death something like this COVID-19 crisis going on around the world? Is it your cancer? Is it the broken circumstances in your life right now? Maybe it's just some particular difficulty that you're experiencing. Well, let me just say this. If you search for the phrase shadow of death in the Old Testament, one thing you'll notice is it comes up a lot. I didn't count how many times, so we'll just call it a lot. Okay. But you'll learn that it most frequently refers to the wilderness wanderings of God's people. No matter what God's people faced in the wilderness wanderings, He was with them. Listen, even when they followed their own sinful desires and ended up astray, God remained with them. And David knows this. And David applies this to his own life, his own circumstances, those times in his life when the enemies of God's people encircled them for sure, but also those times in his life when David himself had wandered. He's out in the wilderness, and he owns part of the cause for why he's out in the wilderness. And what he found was what? Even there, God is with him. And so the shepherd protects his sheep personally and continuously, and his protection is due to his faithfulness to them, not their faithfulness to him. Now, that's a lot to take in. It's a lot to read, let alone write down. So let me just say this while you're reading and writing that down, those of you who take notes. I have shared with you before enough of my testimony so that you know perhaps that I had a season in my life of prodigal living. I spent not a little while, but quite a few years in the pig pen as a prodigal. And I'm not going to go into all of that, but I got to tell you, one of the things that I know, having been graciously restored by my Savior, when he called me back to him and he welcomed me with open arms, is that he was with me the whole time. All of those years in that pig pen, spiritually, the Lord was with me. And so the psalmist here, David, can say, I can fear no evil. I will fear no evil, not even the evil that I wander into on my own. Why? Well, it isn't because he knows every contour of the valley of the shadow. He doesn't. And it isn't even because he knows that just tomorrow the sun is going to cast away those dark shadows. He doesn't know that. And it isn't even because he has earned the shepherd's protection. He does not fear because the shepherd is present and his shepherd king protects him personally and protects him continuously. David actually sang about this in another psalm, didn't he? Psalm 34, verse 7. You know this verse. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. I know a lot of us look at that verse and it leads to endless and, let me just say, pointless speculation about angels and their function and all of that. But I think we can use the bigger crayons in this instance to just say this. You know, there are no barriers between you and the blessings of God's protection when you're one of his sheep. There just aren't. The angel of the Lord, as most of you know, in the Old Testament, so often refers to the pre-incarnate Christ. Here is the good shepherd encamped around his own, those who fear him, and he delivers them. Jesus said this, "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day." Every single one of us who belongs to the good shepherd will be with him in the end. You don't have to wonder about that. when our wandering through this wilderness life is done, we will not be lost. We will be with Him, and we will be with one another forever. Our Shepherd King keeps His own. He makes provision even when the enemies, the world encircles God's people in the same way that lions probably prowled around the flocks that David cared for when he was just a shepherd boy. I want you to notice something with me in verse 4. Did you notice a significant change in the narrative? David has been singing of his Shepherd King, the Lord, in the third person. The Lord is my shepherd. But now in verse 4, the he changes to you. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That this is the covenant presence of God with His people. It's all over the Psalms, as we've seen in recent weeks. He is the shepherd of His people. He's not going anywhere, no matter where you are. You know, I remember many years ago trying to encourage someone who was really despairing. In fact, I think it would be safe to say this person was having a breakdown mentally, emotionally. And this person desperately wanted me to take him to a church where he could be near what he referred to as the Stations of the Cross, where he could be near a confessional, where he could be near a particular statue of Mary that was dear to him, familiar to him. And think what you want of this, but in the moment I took him to such a place with the understanding that we would talk about it. And when I asked him, when he came out, I didn't go in with him, but I said, well, why is this so important to you? And he looked at me, and with all sincerity, he said, because that's where God is. Well, we had a conversation about that by God's grace. And friends, the God of the Bible is not found someplace you go to. You're not going to be any closer to God next week when you come to this building than you are right now if you're in Christ in your home, sitting there in your pajamas the way some of you are. Don't think I don't know this. When you know the God of the Bible through faith in Christ, when the Lord of the universe is your shepherd, He's wherever you're at, personally, benevolently. You don't go see God. He's wherever you're at. Right there with you now in the hospital, a couple of you dear ones right now. Right there in the loneliness of your quarantine. Right there in the terror of your illness. The dread of your broken relationship. The muddiness of your way forward. You're stuck. And He, as your God, the Almighty One, is there to protect you. You say, well, I've wandered. I'm one of those sheep that has gone astray. And even right now I have a sense that I'm astray. Well, let me just encourage you, turn back to your shepherd, but rest in this. You are not outside the reach of His protection. I know that from my own life. And where is the table of His blessing set for you? Look at the psalm. Well, it's set right there in the presence of your enemies. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What a strange phrase. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. You know, it must be a tremendous frustration to the enemies of the church that our Lord's people continue to thrive no matter what is thrown at them. It really is amazing. I was talking to somebody a couple of years ago who is not a believer. And I'm sharing this with you because sometimes we look at media and we say, oh, my goodness, how horrible it is. The media has just become such a work of Satan. Let me just encourage you with this. This person was complaining to me that as he drove from Coeur d'Alene to Portland, all he could pick up on his radio was Christian radio. And it totally ticked him off. And he's like, man, is that all there is in this stretch of road is Christian radio? And that's why I said, you know, it must be a great frustration to the enemies of the church that no matter what the world does, the church continues to thrive. And I believe God is using this current pandemic worldwide for His good purposes. But I also believe the enemy delights to use it for his purposes. That's not a strange thing to say. Satan's desire is to keep people from the good shepherd in the first place. And what has our shepherd king done? Well, he's made it so via live streaming, so many churches are reaching so many more people than they would have before. God has done this. Satan's desire is to discourage the sheep, to scatter the sheep, to set the sheep about biting and kicking and scratching at one another. And by God's grace, that has not happened. The sheep are being strengthened. Our bond to the shepherd has been strengthened. It's grown deeper and stronger as we've been forced to slow down. And so many of us forced to quiet down that we might actually hear his voice above the din of our very busy lives. The sheep are staying together, helping one another follow the shepherd. I had somebody call me here at the church very early. I don't know why he was up so early. I should have asked him, I guess. But he said, "Pastor, I just called to say I love you and I'm praying for you." And then he shared a joke with me, and it was a funny joke. But what really blessed my heart was just that he was thinking of encouraging another one of God's sheep. Yesterday, something amazing here happened. As some of you ladies know, scores and scores of women were encouraged as they came here and just kind of drove through the parking lot. And they were handed a gift that was put together by hand and some words of encouragement by our women's ministry team. And as if the leadership is saying, "Hey, we're here. You're loved. You're part of this flock. Don't forget that." You see, what the enemy intends to use to scatter the sheep, the good shepherd is able and faithful to use to strengthen the flock. And here David says, "Our good shepherd has set a banquet before us in the very presence of the enemy of souls." Doesn't it delight your heart, friend, as we read this great psalm, to be personally aware of its truthfulness? That right now, I trust, just by the Holy Spirit in you, you're thinking of specific instances in which the Lord has been faithful to you in this way. Doesn't it encourage your heart this morning to belong to the shepherd who knows and delights in you as his own possession, who obligates himself to provide for your every need, who protects you with his personal presence, even when you've wandered? Well, I want us to notice one last thing from this song. And it just happens to be the last verse, and so that's convenient for us. Verse 6 says this: "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You who are the Lord's possession, you who are assured of his provision, you who are assured of his protection, you who will never be outside of his favorable presence, David says, this will never change on any day of your life. And listen, one day your wanderings through the wilderness of this life will be over, and you will live with your shepherd, and you will be with his flock forever. This entire life of ours is temporary. We forget that so much, that we're pilgrims. We're strangers in a foreign land. This world is not our home. And for a moment, let us just consider how David, in this beautiful song, is anticipating the days when his enemies will be gone in the final sense. The wilderness itself will be no more, and he will be in the presence of his shepherd king forever. Do you realize, friend, that wherever you go, you are being followed by the goodness and mercy of your Savior? It never changes. And as you follow Jesus, his goodness and his mercy follow you. And it's by his goodness and by his mercy that he will lead you all the way home. You know, to have a permanent home must have been the longing of people who were nomadic, at least compared to our way of living in David's day, and people who went from here to there and back again all the time, tending their livestock. And it seems to me that most of us, when we slow down and think about it, we long for a permanent home, too, don't you think? And what a precious reminder this is, that the shepherd leads his sheep to his eternal home of blessing. That's what David is looking ahead to. That scene that we read about earlier in Revelation 7 speaks of this eternal home, doesn't it? You remember that? Listen to it again. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. You know, in Christ, this describes your true home. Do you have a sense this morning in your own conscience that this future is yours? Well, how can you know? Well, you must know Jesus, the scripture says. He is the door, John 10 tells us, to the sheepfold. How curious it is, though, in Revelation 7, that the shepherd king is also the Lamb. Did you notice that? The Lord, who is eternal God, who is the shepherd, who is the king or ruler of his people, came to us as one of us, didn't he? He came as a sheep. God in Christ came to us, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who takes away your sin. And he gave his life temporarily so that you and I might have his life forever. And it's only through faith in his shed blood, him coming to serve you as he did, with his life and his death and his resurrection, that you know him in this way, that you're one of his own. And to know him in this way, the scripture says, is to follow him, is to recognize his voice and follow him. Then obey him and live for him, to love his voice as he speaks to you through his word, and to rest in his strong presence. That's what this psalm is all about. I say again, it is not some nice generic words for all people. It is the very word of God for specific people, his own sheep, God who is our shepherd king. Well, I know we know the psalm. We knew the psalm before we opened it this morning, I trust. And I pray that God will give us grace to know the shepherd, and that God will give us grace to get to know him more and more as he leads us home. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for these tender, mighty words. What a reminder of who you are and who we are as your people. And Lord, I pray that you would protect us from what we often do when we're familiar with some words from your word. We take them too lightly. We say, yes, yes, I know this. Lord, I pray that we would meditate much this week on what it is to know you as our shepherd king. And Lord, what it is to be one of your sheep. Teach us, Lord, to rest in your sovereign care. And we pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.